So it's really interesting because, in a sense, ever since the slave trade was abolished in 1807, straight afterwards, Thomas Clarkson, one of the real pioneers of the kind of network of popular petitioning during that movement, wrote his own history of the rise and progress of the movement of the abolition of the slave trade. So he sort of tried to get his first draft of the history in terms of explaining what he'd done, what others had done, and why they'd succeeded. And there's great work by John Oldfield on the successive commemorations of anti-slavery anniversaries, which shows how the kind of both the popular but also the academic sort of story of abolitionism has been forged by the commemorations in years with round numbered anniversaries. And so you get not only Wilberforce's sons later on writing about their father's role and successfully kind of promoting his sort of, not sort of over promoting the fact that he had a role, but over promoting his kind of unique importance, perhaps. But I think, crucially, because Wilberforce dies within a few days of the Emancipation Act being passed in 1833, it means that subsequent anniversaries end up as much being anniversaries of his death as they do anniversaries of the Act being passed. And so, it's not just the case that he is one amongst a list of great white men that abolitionist histories told us were the exemplars of British virtue, but ends up getting promoted right to the fore of them. And that, I think, helps feed into a kind of a narrative that abolitionist leaders made themselves, which is that this was a movement of kind of a few pious truth tellers that perhaps sometimes marginalises the role of popular pressure in Britain, and which certainly replicates the kind of abolitionist tendency to treat enslaved Africans and indeed free Africans as sort of needy beneficiaries of kind of British kindness, rather than as people with their own historical actions and motives, and certainly the idea of them being equals to the abolitionists who were setting out to save them. So I guess you can kind of see the origins of kind of white saviour narratives in humanitarian and development work, which have been extensively critiqued in going right back to abolitionism, often called the sort of first human rights NGO, human rights movement, in that sense. So in terms of how these things have shaped the anniversaries, in terms of how they've shaped the inclinations of histories of anti-slavery, I think that it's ended up promoting that kind of idea of a kind of unique national story, that, a kind of story about how Britain was first, which it wasn't in abolishing the slave trade and slavery, but most importantly, kind of ones that ends up venerating the role of the Royal Navy and the kind of pretensions of Britain as an anti-slavery empire in the later 19th century. Such it seems that sort of becoming an abolitionist empire in terms of foreign policy is almost sort of written up as having erased the fact that the British state had actively encouraged and built up Britain's leading role in the slave trade in the 18th century. So I think that's had a really influential role. And every anniversary, new abolitionist movements have always kind of tried to say that the current generations don't stack up to the heroism, to the virtue, to the dedication of previous generations. And so I guess you could say that today with discussions about modern slavery and contemporary forms of forced labour. But you can definitely see it going back to 1933, for example, when the sort of the big official history of the anti-slavery movement at the moment of the centenary of emancipation is very much kind of orientated towards trying to encourage Britons in the 1930s to support the anti-slavery movement of their day. It's worth saying, just as a sort of footnote, though, that the anti-slavery movement of their day in the 1930s, its great anti-slavery campaign was to support Mussolini's invasion of Abyssinia, because it was apparently an anti-slavery invasion. So it's one of the things I've worked on in the past, is the extent to which anti-slavery is actually intertwined with new colonization and conquest. And we shouldn't see it as some sort of anti-colonial reform movement of existing colonies. It's also, it's a project of imperial reform for many people, and gets bound up in the expansion of empire in the later 19th and indeed into the 20th centuries.